Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have, finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, this is good news indeed. This is Wretched Radio. Tony, you know, I have had a very dear friend so many times I've talked to you about, Henny Bin. Henny has been
Old Henny.
Oh, Henny's a very good friend. But I'll tell you, Henny, there have been some areas in his life that have really needed some cleaning up. You know, he's been stealing jewelry for the longest time, years and years. In fact, his stealing of the jewelry has made him downright rich. Many people have talked to him about this in the past, but Henny just never seemed to respond to it. Well, not only that, by the way, Henny's got some other issues. Speeds like he's the sheriff in Dukes of Hazzard. He just, like a nobody's business. Not only that, he's been embezzling money at work. It's been a terrible thing. My dear friend Henny doing these things, not to mention voter fraud. He's been committing voter fraud. And rumor has it that he has not been a very good father. Not only that, apparently he built his fence on his neighbor's property and refuses to admit he overstepped his boundaries. But he's such a good friend, and we've never seen any sort of contrition from him until recently. My dear friend Henny has said that he feels that people who take jewelry from other people are doing a terrible thing. I am so relieved that he has changed his ways. Clearly, he's a new man. Now, I admit to you, he hasn't returned any of the jewelry that he himself has taken, but at least he seems upset that those types of things are still being done, and that maybe, perhaps, he's changed his thinking on stealing jewelry. None of the other things have changed. Nevertheless, I am so encouraged today about my dear friend Henny. Would you like to celebrate with me?
I'm more curious as to why you'd be so encouraged.
Well, because it's all over the internet, and people are talking about it. Yeah. He's clearly renounced his jewelry thievery. Now he's not going to do it anymore. He hasn't returned a nickel's worth of it. But nevertheless, he's not going to do it anymore, and it sickens him that other people do it. So let's all celebrate Henny Bin. With that thought in mind, would like to share with you again Thomas Watson, who lived 1620 to 1686, six ingredients of repentance. Just thought, coincidentally, we'd study this subject. Repentance is spiritual medicine made up of six special ingredients. If one is left out, it loses its virtue. Number one, sin must first be seen for what it is. You got to know what it is. It's not just a, let's just say, a change of mind about stealing jewelry. It's seeing it as a wicked act, not only against fellow man, but primarily against God. Ingredient number two, a sorrow for sin. That's right. A woman may as well expect to have a child without pangs as one can have repentance without sorrow. You know, my friend Henny, he doesn't have any of that, but nevertheless, I really think we're on the right track, is what I think. Sorrow for sin is not superficial. It is holy agony. Until the heart is full of compunction, it is not fit for Christ. We've got subpoints. Oh, those Puritans. So this is ingredient number two of the six ingredients of repentance, subpoint one. Truly godly sorrow. I guess it would be true godly sorrow. Otherwise, it would be adjectivally redundantly. True godly sorrow is inward. A wicked man may be troubled for scandalous sins. A real convert laments heart sins. So it's the inside, not just what I done out here. It's even what I think inside of here. Godly sorrow is ingenuous, honest, straightforward, not holding back. It is a clear exposing of this is what I have done, primarily as a trespass against God. Subpoint three, godly sorrow is trustful. Spiritual sorrow will sink the heart if the pulley of faith does not raise it. And so not only is there sorrow with repentance, there is a celebration and rejoicing that I have been forgiven of everything. Number four, godly sorrow is a great sorrow. Number five, godly sorrow, in some cases, not all, but in some cases, is joined with restitution. Like, you know, Zacchaeus made restitution. From Thomas Brooks, whoever has wronged others in their estate by unjust, fraudulent dealing ought in conscience to make them recompense. There is an express law for this. He shall recompense his trespass with the principal thereof and add into it the fifth part thereof and give it unto them against her. This is a lot of different prepositions in Numbers chapters 5 and verse 7. But the Old Testament does talk about restitution when it is clear against somebody. Now, the subject of restitution, complex story for another day. And I'm not talking about social issues. I'm talking about individually. You stole a pencil in second grade. Do you need to give back a pencil in a fifth? Probably not, but there are times when it is appropriate. You know, my friend Henny, he's still got all that jewelry. He could give it back. He hasn't, but I'm still very encouraged by Henny. Godly sorrow is abiding. It is not fleeting. That was subpoint six of point number two of the six ingredients of repentance. Ingredient three, confession of sin. This is admitting, yep, but don't forget, confession is not the same as contrition. Mean it! Tell her you're sorry, mean it! How many times have we had to do that with a child because you knew they weren't really sorry because it wasn't heartfelt? Just going, yeah, sorry I hit you with a rock, sis, isn't really repentance. Confession must be voluntary. Confession must be with compunction, deeply resenting sin. A natural man's confessions run through him as water through a pipe. They don't affect him, but true confession leaves heart-wounding impressions on a man. Confession must be sincere. In true confession, a man particularizes sin. He confesses sin individually, not just an in general, oops, I'm kind of did some boo-boos here. Nope, is willing to go, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this. That is to be truly repentant. A true penitent confesses sin's foundation, the pollution of his nature. So it's not just, I did this stuff. I am this kind of man. I am to my core totally depraved. The freeing nature of that is staggering. I know on the surface of it, it looks really harsh. I know to the self-esteem movement, it is totally contradictory to their worldview. But realizing you're totally depraved is so liberating. The next time somebody, your spouse, your children go, Dad, you're being kind of a jerk, you can go, I've been accused of so much worse than that. And you don't get offended. And you can accept that. Biblically, ingredient number four, shame for sin. Ingredient five, hatred for sin. How may true hatred of sin be known? Let the devil cook and dress sin with pleasure and profit, yet a true penitent with a secret abhorrence of it is disgusted by it and will not meddle with it. He who hates one sin hates all. Hypocrites will hate some sins. You know, that type of sin is really, you know, stealing jewelry is really bad. And I don't like it when other people do that. But his abuse of his children or the fence or whatever the other things that Henny is doing these days, yeah, not so much. That's not the sign of somebody who is really repentant. Where there is real hatred, we need only oppose sin in ourselves, but in others too. So we do see sin now on the outside of us and go, yikes. So in other words, if we have other jewelry thieves, we're abhorred at their behavior. We don't try to protect them. and to time our repentance at the right moment so as not to hurt our jewelry thieving friends. But we really despise that sin in them too. Ingredient six is a turning from sin. A turning from with the heart, turning from all sin. That is what biblical repentance looks like. Now, despite everything we just heard, I'm still going to celebrate that my good friend Henny really has changed his mind about stealing jewelry. By the way, I don't know if I told you this, Tony. My friend Henny.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a pastor too. So
this is
good. This is very good. Now I know it sounds like even if he were genuinely repentant about his jewelry thieving, he's got all of these other issues that have not been repented of. Nevertheless, contrary to what the Bible says about a man must be above reproach, I am excited. I am just downright excited for my good friend Henny. I'm excited for the church. I'm excited for truth. I'm excited for the sake of the gospel. And I'm excited for all of the people that he stole that jewelry from. It's what I'm excited about today. This is Wretched Radio.
Thank you for joining us. Glad you would spend part of today listening to Wretched Radio. And thank you very much to our gospel partners, the folks who keep the lights on here, who allow us to be on the radio, the TV, the internet, and develop the great resources we have. Thank you very much. You allow us to preach the gospel, equip others to preach and defend the gospel, and strengthen the local church. And we are very grateful for your faithfulness. Now, if you're not a gospel partner, could I ask two things? One, would you add us to your prayer list? We do covet your prayers. And two, would you consider becoming a gospel partner? Go to wretched.org/donate for all the details. Things like, yes, we are a 501c3, so we're a charitable organization. Your gifts are all tax deductible. And that 83% of every dollar given goes straight to ministry work. We keep our overhead very low because, well, we're cheap. Become a gospel partner today. Get details at wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
If you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsene, just 5 years old, escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother would not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother, sadly, passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandmother used to live to the church. And that's where the Tomorrow Club meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
You, pardon me, you. No, don't turn around. I'm talking to you. Would you consider becoming a monthly gospel partner if you're not already? Every dollar you give helps Wretched reach thousands with the gospel and helps keep the lights on around here. So if you want people to hear the gospel and you want to keep us out of the dark, please support Wretched by becoming a monthly gospel partner. There's a joke here now about the lights turning off, but it's radio. Without your consistent financial support, Wretched couldn't do what we do. Like distribute 1 million copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple? Or film a new show called Road Trip to Truth with host John Fabares. If you're already supporting Wretched, thank you very much. We are extremely grateful for every dollar you have given. And if you're not, would you consider giving a tax-deductible gift to Wretched on a monthly basis? The more our gospel partners give to us, the more we are able to give away. Visit wretched.org/donate for details on becoming a gospel partner. wretched.org/donate. The mission ball is genius in its simplicity. It is a soccer ball covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation. Great way to draw a crowd, make a connection with people, and ultimately create opportunities to proclaim Christ. And the mission ball is now available in 38 different languages. Over 100,000 have been used in 91 countries so far. If you're able to help spread the word with the mission ball, go to themissionball.org. Themissionball.org.
Yeah. Attributes of God. God is omniscient, meaning he knows all things. He knows all things past, present, and future. God does not learn new information, and nothing takes him by surprise. He knows what will happen and is working all things for his glory and the good of those who love him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to the Political Hour on Wretched Radio. Okay, it's not actually an hour and it's not really not political. Actually, this is Wretched Radio. Nevertheless, when we see stories in the political realm that we believe have Christian implications or theology that needs to be applied, we'll dive in, but we are not a program that deals politically with issues per se. We like to deal with theology, no matter what the realm is. Let's start with Liberty University. You say, I thought this was a political segment. Well, it is, because increasingly Liberty University has been known for its political activism, thanks to its president, Jerry Falwell Jr. Jerry Falwell Jr. has been running that university, and it has grown tremendously. I think they call themselves the largest Christian school on the globe. Their online programs, I got to tell you something, very, very impressive. Perhaps you saw the article. It was a Lulu. We got this printed up at Apple. I think this was printed in, I don't know if it was New York Times, Washington Post. It's okay, guys. Here's the print on the page. Okay, so this is like an intense page. Wow. About 10 pages of this. It is supposedly an expose about how horrible Jerry Falwell Jr. is. That's what the article is. I just gave you the summary of it. I'll spare you the guts of it, because it's rather supposed to be revealing that he's not a good guy, that he doesn't run the university right, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to get into the details, because that is exactly the reason that I brought it up. This is a story about a reporter who assembled presumably a couple dozen official people who used to work at Liberty University who are now willing to tell the truth about Jerry Falwell. Are they telling the truth? I don't know. Maybe they are. Am I supposed to take it at face value based on a really lengthy article in a secular newspaper? No. I'll read it. I can maybe digest it to a degree. A little long for my taste. I mean, I get the point. They don't think that he's a good guy, supposedly. What do I do with this as a Christian? I believe the answer is absolutely nothing. I don't even attend this school. I don't even live in Virginia. How could I possibly render some sort of verdict? Now, maybe you have a like or a dislike for the activism of Jerry Falwell Jr. That may be, but that shouldn't color or taint our response to an article that is simply telling one side of a story. And it's not even in a court of law. This is neither a defense, nor is it a denouncement, a denunciation of Jerry, a bad mouthing of Jerry Falwell Jr. That's not the point at all. And the only reason that I even bring it up is because it's so widely disseminated now. If this were a small little newspaper, it wouldn't talk about it, because I wouldn't want to be forwarding gossip, which is what this is at the moment. That's really my problem with so much news. In fact, if you ever visit Atlanta, just give yourself a drubbing. Watch 15 minutes of the evening news. It is one accusation of murder, one accusation of this is what was done. This guy did, you know, he was arrested for this. Okay, knowing that somebody got arrested and putting it on the news, in my opinion, I mean, that poor guy or gal, let's just say they're innocent. Have you ever seen a news story? Hey, we reported about a guy that we thought maybe was involved in a crime scene, but he wasn't. So we're going to air this for the next 3 weeks, letting everybody know that fella, totally innocent. You've got a good neighbor in Bob. They don't do that. And this type of story, I don't think, is one that a Christian really should learn much from. Should there be some sort of court case, or should there be some sort of Christian the well, what is it called when they sit, the two parties sit down and they've got an arbitrator person?
Arbitration, mediation.
That's the one right there. I was really warm on this one, wasn't I, Alex? Okay. Then maybe we learn something. In the meantime, this is none of my business. Now, if I were going to consider sending my child there, would this be anything that might inform my decision? I might want to look into it, but then I would have a personal responsibility to investigate what it's like to go to school there. But I am not going to take a story like this and cause it to make me feel like all of Liberty University is terrible. Everybody there is awful. It's not a school worthy of your consideration. And that Jerry Falwell Jr., I knew it. I could tell by the look. And none of that. Political story number two. Probably already saw this when you were watching Morning Joe. Probably not, really. Nevertheless, there is a politician running for the Democratic Party. By the way, speaking of the Democratic Party, hold the phone, Henrietta. This is staggering. And again, this is not to make any sort of commentary on politics, but the where is that rascal? No, that's not the one right there. There was.
Hurry, my phone's getting heavy.
Here it is. I got it right here.
Thank you.
Hey, by the way, speaking of phones,
yeah.
Please do not tell Mrs. Friel. I pull out of the driveway today. I get to the first stop sign, and I hear a bit of a thud. Not a big thud, but just a bit of a thud.
Was it followed by a sharp meow?
No, there was no. There were no cats involved. I stopped and went boom. Huh? Maybe it's something in the trunk. We had just been at Walmart, so maybe there's something in the trunk. I probably drove 3 miles, 5 miles, come to a stop sign, had to you know, stop a little bit harder. Guess what came sliding down my windshield?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Coffee? Go ahead.
No, if it were coffee, that would have been a better. I would have been that guy, but it wouldn't have been as bad as my cell phone.
Uh-oh.
I'd driven miles with my. Do not tell Mrs. Friel. She's had to inform me numerous times.
See, now look what you've done.
Where's your phone?
I want to be a good friend and not tell Mrs. Friel.
But yeah, see, I just gave you the law, which is going to make you want to break the law.
There's
right
this
there.
Great urge to like leave for a moment and phone her.
Okay, that's not the Swedish professor says to eat human flesh to combat global warming. No, that's not the article. Yeah, looking for that one.
No.
Well, it was some Democratic meeting that they had, I believe, in San Francisco. And this particular, it was a document that said, hey, basically, we're the party of secularists. We're not even going to try to hide it anymore. Yeah. We like secularists because there's a lot of them these days. Got it right here, finally. DNC resolution champions faithless, condemns faithful. This is from One New Snow. I have no idea what the weather has to do with reporting on this type of story. OneNewSnow.com. Resolution passed Saturday. DNC summer meeting in San Fran. Affirmed the religiously unaffiliated as sharing their values and being the largest religious group within the Democratic Party. Just giving everybody a moment to not be shocked.
I'm stunned.
The unanimously passed resolution also criticized religious views and religious liberty that threaten minority groups. Whereas, here's the document, the religiously unaffiliated have grown, that 70% voting for Democrats in 2018, these were unaffiliated Americans, 80% supporting same-sex marriage, 61% saying immigrants make American society stronger. Anybody disagree with that? With the American society part? I don't know. Yeah, they do. The religiously unaffiliated demographic represents the largest group within the Democratic Party, 33%. Huh. I wonder why the two parties don't get along here. Religiously unaffiliated Americans overwhelmingly share the Democratic Party's national public policy based on sound science, and universal humanistic values. You know, if you've been thinking about moving to France, you don't have to, because it looks like There's a party that would basically like to have us established with French values. Sound science. Can you actually test a political policy in a science lab? I know they've been making a lot of progress these days with science, but I did not know that human values could be determined in a laboratory. The move by the DNC was championed by Secular Coalition of America. Wowza. And then, of course, what do you know? It says that the religious people have threatened the civil rights and liberties of many Americans, including but not affiliated, limited to the LGBTQ plus women and ethnic and religious, non-religious minorities. Wow.
Hmm.
Any question about where that particular party stands? Whereas a record number of people now affirm nothing, be it resolved, the true ethical soundness and importance of the religiously unaffiliated demographic who contribute in numerous ways to the arts, sciences, medicines, business, etc., that they are the bomb diggity in the Democratic Party, and we like them more than Christians. Okay, I kind of translated a little bit for you, but I think we kind of get the point, don't we? Is it any wonder why there's so much hostility in politics these days? This is Wretched Radio.
Does your church have a passion to see souls saved, but you don't know where to start? HeartsForTheLost.com. Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They will fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar, and then they will go out into the streets with you to put what you've learned into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or schedule your conference, go to HeartsForTheLost.com.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. Let's hit the campaign trail, shall we? Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders endorsed abortion to curb population growth during a town hall meeting last week, saying it's a solution that would work especially in poor countries. Sanders and nine other Democrats took part in a CNN town hall on the climate, but it was Sanders' comments about abortion that sparked the most pushback from pro-lifers. Carol Tobias, who is president of National Right to Life, tweeted, "He," meaning Sanders, "thinks control of population growth should occur in developing countries, thus targeting babies because they are poor." Lila Rose, founder and president of Live Action, also criticized Sanders. What do women in poor countries around the world need, according to Bernie Sanders? Not health care, clean water, education, infrastructure, or jobs, Rose wrote. Send them birth control and abortions because their children are the problem, not poverty. Leftism elitism is disgusting. Meanwhile, another Democratic presidential hopeful, Pete Buttigieg, is being criticized for comments he made suggesting life begins at a baby's first breath and that the Bible supports abortion up until the moment of birth. The remarks by the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, occurred during an appearance on a New York radio station's morning show and sparked plenty of reaction from pro-lifers, including from his brother-in-law, Ryan Glesman, who is the pastor of a church in Michigan. He told the Washington Examiner, quote, "If we're going to say we're for all people and we love all people, but we don't value human life in the womb, that's being a hypocrite." He added, "I feel a sense of responsibility and stewardship of my faith to stand up and say something, to say, no, that's not true. God places a very high value on human life. That doesn't start at the first breath. It starts when we enter our mother's womb." Lila Rose, president and founder of Live Action, also tweeted out, "Pete Buttigieg says we don't know when life begins. We do." And then falsely claims the Bible suggests life begins with breath, so therefore it must be okay with killing preborn children. Pretty sick. Pete Buttigieg has either never read the Bible or he's lying. Seems like the culture of death has moved into the Democratic Party. Hey, a new Chick-fil-A opened in Toronto last week, and unlike grand openings here in the U.S., this grand opening was met by protesters and a call for a boycott. An LGBT group and an animal rights organization held the protest, saying, "Don't eat hate," among other signs. Brian Lilly, a columnist for the Toronto Star, wrote, "The line to get into the Toronto Chick-fil-A goes around the corner and down the street. It's bigger than the loud protests out front." Thomas Daigle, a reporter for CBC News, said on the second day of the protests, "Customers still greatly outnumber the protesters. Chick-fil-A in Toronto, day two," he wrote. "One protester, close to 100 people lined up for chicken." Wilson Yang, the operator at the Toronto Chick-fil-A, said the protesters meant anyone else more than welcome to come inside and eat. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Books of the Bible. 1 Timothy contains Paul's instructions to his protege for church leadership. Paul exhorts Timothy to confront and correct false teachers and to preserve sound doctrine through church structure and preaching of the word. The church has a responsibility to preserve and maintain the truth given by God in his word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now, the Morning Joe. This is Wretched Radio. Tried to push this off as long as possible, but the time has arrived for us to do what very few people do, tune in to MSNBC's Morning Joe program. One of the Democratic candidates for the President of the United States is Pete Buttigieg. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Buttigieg.
All righty then. Whatever. I really think it should be Buttigieg because, well, that's the way I say it, and I think he should conform to the way I identify his name as being, or something like that. He appeared on the Morning Joe. Let's listen to his Christian testimony. Let's do this. Let's play a little game. Kent, now maybe you know this, so don't cheat if you do. Gentlemen, I think you know the answer to this, so you do not get to participate.
No.
What denomination does Pete Buttigieg adhere to? Can you figure it out?
I'm wondering if you associate yourself with the words of Barack Obama as we talk about faith in God. I mean, Barack Obama came out, noted Muslim, as many of his political enemies said, and he said, I have come to know Jesus Christ personally as my Lord and personal Savior. Is that your feeling? Do you associate yourself with those words?
Now, why did he have to bring Barack Obama into it? I have no idea. Unless it, of course, was to provide cover for him. Hey, Barack Obama said it. Democratic Party, which apparently prefers secularists over religious people. I don't know. I'm just speculating.
Yes, but maybe that means different things to different people. Because a lot of people feel that they had a kind of road to Damascus personal encounter with God. For me, just personally, I actually came to the faith more through an appreciation of mystery. And a
Okay. I came to believe based on more about mystery. That's a little bit of a hint. This is the Christian faith that isn't about truth. It's about truthiness. It makes it really exciting because of all the things we don't know. Now there, Now that is a firm foundation of water right there. Go ahead and try to stand on that. I love this particular faith because it answers so few questions. Wowza. Have you guessed yet?
History and a personal humility about the limits to which this part of me could get.
Right.
Then believing that I had found the answer. I struggle with a lot of doubt and a lot of ambiguity, but...
All right. Have you guessed yet? By the way, don't forget... Doubt. A lot of Christians wrangle with doubt. Doubt is not disbelief. I think his doubt tends to go about 800 miles further. Nevertheless, he loves the ambiguity. He's very postmodern. I do not believe that the religion that I adhere to is the only one. So, hey, don't you worry. I won't be imposing my faith on you. Can you guess what denomination he is yet? Let's continue, shall we?
That is there in Scripture, just as that is there in life.
Is it a feel-good thing, though, for you? Or is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
That's pretty good, Joe.
Savior.
So, again, that means different things for different people.
What does it mean to you?
Salvation through Christ has to do with the fact that when God comes into this world, according to the teachings of my faith tradition, the world is basically out to destroy the divine. And yet, through this sacrifice, we see what it means to live out the idea of love.
Okay. Have you guessed yet? Jesus' death on a cross, it was all about love. Does anybody want to explain to me what sort of love was being demonstrated there if it were not judicial, if it were not the Son of God taking upon himself the wrath that sinners deserve? How is that love? Did he die in the place of another criminal? I don't think so. Did he die in the place of somebody who was a political enemy? No. Did he die for somebody who'd embezzled money? According to Pete, no. So then what was this love all about? According to the Bible, he died for us as a propitiation to buy us back. The best chapters, I think, in the Bible to read on this would be Romans 1 through 6 would get the job done. The judicial nature of the gospel. What else would be. I got it. Tony, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this is how nuts this is. Tony, if you would be so kind, I know that you've got one sitting around the place on your 40 acres there someplace. You know that electric chair? If you could get that bad boy, if you could get everything all tidied up, maybe get some of the corroded ends on the wires cleaned up so that we got it. I want a good connection because, look, I want to be jolted, but, you know, not for long. Let's just kind of make this as quick as possible. And I, in an act of love, am going to come to your house and let you electrocute me. So if you'd be kind enough to get that set up, that'd be terrific.
Sure.
You'd think that's not love. That's nuts. That's what that is. And if there is not a reason for the love demonstrated on the cross, it is absolute insanity being hung. Not the Son of God dying for the sins of his people.
Of God's love. Now, what's interesting is if you're into, you know, New Testament translation, there are several different words in the Greek New Testament that we would translate as love. So sometimes it's brotherly love, sometimes it's romantic.
Okay, look, I can't say this definitively, but I'm pretty good at discerning chin boogie. You? where are we going here, Pete?
Tick love, although we just have this one word, love, right, where they have a lot of different kind of flavors of it in the original language of the Bible. But I guess my point is this linkage of love to sacrifice to presence, which I think is part of what the idea of the resurrection is about, that you have this presence instead of just being here and then not being here, that is mortality, right, is the way for salvation. So,
anybody got any idea? Not about denomination, but what he's talking about?
No. I don't know how well aligned that is with how others view their encounter with Christian faith. But I know that in my life it has certain implications. And
just a little note. Notice our exposure to the Christian faith as opposed to the person of Jesus Christ.
I also know that it has certain moral implications that I think I can be responsible to without.
Here it comes, the Christian version of legalism.
Saying that anybody else has to believe what I believe or has to believe anything.
Well, right. And of course, that's how I feel. I mean, people believe what they believe. Everybody has their own walk. And so I don't mean to sound like...
I thought he was going to get into moralisms.
Tom Hanks and Big, but I don't get it. What I'm asking you is, do you believe it, the Orthodox view, Jesus, Son of God, died for your sins, was buried, the third day was resurrected?
Okay. What's up with Joe Scarborough? That's actually a really great question, Joe.
And we'll sit at the right hand of the Father, and that your salvation depends on your faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes, and...
Oh, yes, and...
What we do, what I do.
There it is. Right. See, there, now it was right. I win the lottery. See, and what we do. There it is.
What we do.
But I got a yes. That's a yes. And again, I'm not saying there's a right or a wrong answer, but a lot of people know that. So you said yes, and now talk about works.
Yeah, right.
You're about to talk about works.
So there's the scripture that says faith without works is dead.
Right.
And there are different ways of interpreting that. For some, it's just how you show something that's already there.
All righty then. What? There you have it. The testimony of an Episcopalian. Ding, 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 ding. Do we have any winners? Charlie, Johnny, Jimmy, what was the name of the guy? Tell them what they've won. If you guessed Episcopalian, which is a part of the Anglican Communion, you won. That is a testimony of somebody who doesn't believe the verities of the Christian faith. Expect more and more of that, especially in the party of the unaffiliated. Expect more and more people to backpedal on their Christian faith. Maybe even people that you expected to stand for the faith. Don't be holding your breath and don't be shocked a lot. More political news. Look at us. Wow, we are your political Christian talk program.
Are we?
Not really. If I were the head of state for an American ally, this is a quote from a...
Someone?
I'm sorry. Let me just try that again. This is a quote from a...
Uh-oh.
Wow, this is very difficult.
Are you trying to say I'm sorry?
Oh. No, a Southern Baptist pastor. If I were the head of state for an American ally, I'd be working to convince other American allies to work together to hack the next election to choose for the U.S. a normal president so we could return things to normal. The world can't afford more of this. Would you like to guess what Southern Baptist pastor said that, gentlemen?
No.
I'll bet you can if you think about it.
Southern Baptist pastor.
Not the first time we've heard.
Is this Jim Wallace? Is he still Southern
Baptist?
He's not
a Southern.
Was he?
No, I don't think he ever was. Was he? Nevertheless, it wasn't. This would be your Tabiti Anyabwile.
Sad.
So glad to see it's not about politics, this social justice business. This is Wretched Radio. Ultrasound machines save lives. Don't believe me? Then believe Dan Steiner of preborn.org.
That young woman come in, 18, with a boyfriend, and he's pushing her to abort, took him back into the ultrasound room. There's two hearts. It's twins. The father looks at that, this 19-year-old guy. He goes, I don't know what we're going to do, but I know what we're not going to do. We're not going to kill those two babies.
Ultrasounds work. When a mommy, a daddy sees a picture of their baby in the womb, 80% of the time they choose life. It is $28 per ultrasound. May I ask, how many ultrasounds could you provide? $28 per month. Please note, whilst Preborn is busy trying to save the lives of babies, they're trying to save the souls of mommies and daddies by preaching the gospel. Please consider supporting Preborn at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Halloween is right around the corner already, and that means you can either turn off your porch light and, you know, hide from the kids going door to door, or you can give away candy and toes. Our evangelistic booklet, Don't Stub Your Toe, is perfect to give away with the candy. I mean, not only will the kiddos receive some sweet treats, but they'll also bring home the gospel to their parents who dig around looking for a Reese's peanut butter cup to eat. Maybe two. What could be more perfect than reading the gospel while getting cavities? Don't Stub Your Toe. It's a thorough, long gospel presentation, and it's in the perfect little pocket size. So order up your copies of Don't Stub Your Toe now at wretched.org/toe. That way, you'll make sure to have your copies on hand before Halloween rolls around, and you're stuck cowering in the dark from the little trick-or-treaters. Wretched.org/toe and hand out candy and toes for Halloween. Visit wretched.org/toe today.
Couldn't say it any better than Michael Woolworth from Bible League International.
The world will drill wells and provide food and shelter. Those are very important causes.
Yes.
We smile favorably upon those. But getting God's word to believers half a world away, people you won't meet this side of eternity, that's on us as God's people.
Ain't nothing wrong with digging a well, but it is only the Christian church that can provide living water. Bible League International for decades, delivering Bibles to believers who have made a profession of faith, believers who have studied the basics of the Christian faith, are then given living water in the Word, a Bible, for just $5 per Bible. You could deliver a Bible to a believer overseas through Bible League International. Might it be possible you could send, say, 6 per month? Please call Bible League at 1-800-YES-WORD.
Important dates in Christian history. 1807. The British Parliament votes to abolish the slave trade. Its decision is owing in large part to the tireless efforts of the Christian politician, William Wilberforce. Wilberforce's example spurred on abolitionist efforts in America for the next 55 years.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This one won't knock you over with a feather. Won't even take a feather. This is Wretched Radio. Millennials drinking more. Why? So they can deal with their kids. And yet another demonstration that there is a generation that is lost and hurting. Constellation Brands, Inc. It owns popular brands such as Corona and Mondavi. Wow, look at me. That's beer and wine is what that is. Reports that the average millennial consumed about 24 drinks a month in 2013. That's either less than one a day or four times a month they have six drinks a day in one day. I don't know. Back when they were young. But this year, it's up to 29 drinks a month on average. Addiction experts report seeing more and more parents come in for treatment, especially mothers. As they turn to the bottle to cope with the stress of raising children, having career, and taking care of the household. Wait! A cotton picking minute. I thought they could have it all. I thought we could all have it all. Can't we all have everything that we want and do it extremely well? Apparently not. Another lie from the world system. I am telling you, this is increasing. You don't want to force a motif on your worldview and your theology, but this is a big one. Lies versus truth. This is a big one. Continually conclude that the damage that is done in our society to people who do not believe in Jesus Christ, it is because they're believing lies. What is the lie that has been told now for decades? Ladies, you can have it all. I know you're having more heart attacks now, but trust me, you can have it all. We'll fix that. We'll do better at heart transplants so you can keep having it all. Because we'll figure out a way to keep the lie rolling. You can't have it all. Men can't have it all. I can't be at work and home with the children and playing tennis right now. I can't have it all. At least I can't have it all well. And what we are seeing here is another fruit of a lie. These people who think, yep, I'm just going to try to accomplish everything. And what do you know? They find themselves feeling rotten because they're not getting any of it done, probably very well. Received an email from an attorney. I'm going to keep his name out of it. He was actually quite grateful that occasionally here on Wretched Radio, we are willing to talk about the issue of, sit down for this, daycare. Let's just talk about it. What is the fruit of daycare? Is there any scientific studies that have been done? Actually, there have been a lot of scientific studies done, and the reports are quite overwhelming that children who go to daycare, early age, young age, there's a little bit of a difference depending on the age where you go, how the daycare is set up, etc. But nevertheless, the results are in. It is harmful to kids, and it's harmful to moms. Here's my stack. I happen to have it sitting on the desk. This one is about abandoned baby syndrome, anxiety, depression, aggression, perceived abandonment, strained maternal relationship. Now, these are different studies over and over and over again. The effects of daycare on the social-emotional development of children. Report from a 30-year body of research evaluating the effects of non-maternal child care. Children who spend 30 hours a week are more likely to exhibit problematic social behaviors, including aggression, conflict, poor work habits, and risk-taking behaviors throughout childhood and into obedience. This is one from Psychology Today. Resentment toward parents for wanting to have it all or thinking that they can. The strained maternal relationships that come from it. This attorney was saying, you know, you really don't need any studies. You just need to have some common sense. Conflicting relationships, work habits of kids, social emotional functioning, social skills, cognitive development, memory. This attorney who will go nameless said, well, just think it through. A baby who wants to feel safe is going to be put into the care of somebody. I'm talking about daycare here, by the way. I'm talking about the building down the street. They probably call it an academy or a preparatory school. Whatever they call it, somebody who is paid to take care of your child, the child will want to bond with, because that's what kids do. Now, the problem is that kid has to compete with about 24 other kids, and that caregiver can't give all of the care to all of those kids at the same level. Human nature, the caregiver is probably going to single out one or two that happen to be favorites. If it's not your child, they're on the outs. So what are they going to do? They're going to cause disruptive behavior in order to get attention. Or they're going to react another way, which is to become very distant and not even compete or try anymore, because they aren't getting the affection that they want. Now, the one or two does get the affection. Here's the problem. The turnover rates of daycare workers, that one is gone. Now, the new daycare worker comes in and picks two others to be the favorite. Now, they're wounded. That's just some common sense. Now, am I telling you what to do with your life? No, you should figure that out amongst selves with spouses and elders. You can't have it all, Dad. You can't have it all, Mom. Something has got to give. And if that means an income has to give and a lower quality of living, either that gives or the child gives. That's all. And so this whole idea that we've been lied to, give it a go. Now the result of it is, the fruit of it is, more mommies are drinking. Between 2002 and 13, the number of women who consume more than four drinks a day rose 60%. Wow. Those meeting the criteria for alcohol use disorders, indicative of problem drinking, increased by 84%. That's according to the National Epidemiologic Survey on Alcohol and Related Conditions. Wow. But I thought we could have it all. Kelly Clarkson apparently not helping. They're saying that celebrities promoting drinking for moms is also contributing to the issue. Kelly Clarkson recently told People magazine, as someone raising four children, wine is necessary. But she has it all. She's got a kid. She's famous. That's really having it all. She travels, she works, she gets applause, and it's necessary for her to drink. Why? Because you can't. You just can't. Pick. That's all. Pick. Etsy is filled with crafts emblazoned with cute, sassy messages about how raising children requires you to pour yourself a glass or three. The Facebook group Moms Who Need Wine has 728,000 members. Wow. Talk about a numbing, and along comes an alternative. It's this book. It's been around for a while. It's called The Bible, and it can help us with these issues. And rather than being the church that shrinks away from talking about issues like daycare and divorce, sensitive, yeah, I know that, but it didn't used to be sensitive. What changed? The culture changed. The culture started to win the debate and the war and the narrative to say that these divorce is good. You got to live for yourself, Daddy-O, which, by the way, I think is the core of all of these issues. The world's message is self. Live for self. Do what makes you happy. Oh, so if that means leaving my kids with somebody else, that makes me happy. If it means leaving the spouse to whom I said till death do me part, it makes me happy. In other words, it's idolatry of the self. That is the undergirding lie to all of this. I want to do what makes me happy. I've been told, after all, that I should be loving myself the way that I love myself, or something like that, that the Bible talks about. And what is the fruit? Damaged people and damaged relationships. You just can't have it all. You can't do it. I'm having meetings recently with more pastors talking about the issue of suicide. I just heartbreaking. I don't know if I shared this with you. On October 9th, I get to speak in Canton, Georgia. There's a big event that's going to take place. My understanding, 1,000, 1,500 kids come to an event. And initially I said to them, hey, I'm happy to talk about whatever you want to. And they just sent me a note that said, would you please talk about suicide? We've had another one. And the community doesn't know what to do about it. And I think what is at the core of this, and by the way, Canton is a lovely place to live. It is, there's money over there. So it's not that people are hurting, but they've got parents who have bought the lie that you can have it all at the expense of relationships with one another and at the expense of relationship with your child. Go grab the brass ring. Be all that you can be and love yourself. And the consequences are funerals for teenagers. We have an opportunity at this time. People are turning to the Bible. Let's turn them to the book. Let us not be ashamed of these issues. Let's not be ashamed to confront a culture that is filled with lies and say, we know the truth because we worship the God of truth. How would you like to know him? Until tomorrow, go serve your king.